A group of New Zealanders stuck overseas have proposed a self-isolation system for returnees, which would see more people get home and reduce the costs for the government. The grounded Kiwis plan would take into account the vaccine status of the people returning and where they've come from, as well as the vaccine rates in New Zealand. Grounded Kiwis spokesperson Martin Newell joins us now from Melbourne. Kia ora, Martin. Could you just take us through exactly how this will work? How are people going to keep safe and be able to come home?
Kia ora, Anita. Thanks for getting in touch. Yeah, so the proposal is split into two phases. They are linked to vaccination levels in New Zealand, most importantly, which is the key metric to keeping New Zealanders safe. And it also applies a risk profile to all returnees. So you can be coming from a low risk, a medium risk, or a high risk country. So phase one, which could be implemented immediately, is fully vaccinated returnees from low-risk locations, for example, a country like Singapore, will be allowed to isolate for 5 days at home and would have to complete a pre-departure test, a test on arrival, and a test on day four before they would be able to be released. Fully vaccinated returnees from medium-risk locations isolate for 10 days with regular testing, and high-risk returnees would go into a mandatory 14-day MIQ isolation. Once New Zealand reaches 80% of the 12-plus population is fully vaccinated, the second phase of the proposed system would come into effect, and self-isolation would not be required for low-risk returnees. So, you know, for example, if you're travelling from Sydney to Auckland, you could skip isolation altogether, provided you had a negative pre-departure PCR test and an on-arrival test. Self-isolation will be available for all other returnees, depending on their risk level. That would depend on how long that period of isolation would be.
So you mentioned Singapore in there. What are some of those other risk levels? What would be a high risk? You know, we've got New South Wales versus Victoria at the moment. How would everyone fit into those different frameworks?
Well, if you look at Auckland and what's happening in New South Wales, you've got more or less the same kind of a case count. So you've got just as much risk of catching, if not more, risk of catching COVID in Auckland than if you would be coming from Sydney. Actually, because of the vaccination rates in New South Wales and very soon the vaccination rate in Victoria, they would be treated as standalone countries. So New South Wales would be low risk at the moment. Victoria would be a medium risk country if it were its own country in Australia. But that would become a low risk country as the vaccination level and the cases here in Melbourne continue to decline.
Right. And some logistics, if you will. Self-isolation requirements. What about the movements of other people at the property?
Yeah, so depending on where you isolate, if the property that you are self-isolating in, if there's not a separate part of the house which you can use exclusively, then all of the people within that house need to become part of your bubble and they need to isolate with you. So you need to stay on the property. You're not allowed to go out to get essential services. You'd have to only do deliveries and click and collect and contactless only. If the property that you're isolating at has its own, say, a cabin in the back garden, then you can isolate, but you're not allowed to come into contact with any of the members of the rest of that household. You need to be completely separate from them. And under the first phase of our plan, we have a restriction on the distance from Auckland that you are able, or Christchurch that you are able to isolate from. So you wouldn't be able to, say, fly into Auckland and then jump on a regular domestic flight and then fly off down to Dunedin. Under phase one, you'd have to be 150 kilometres by road from Auckland or Christchurch airport.
Right, so you, under that, would get picked up at the airport? And what's the logistics of actually getting to your location?
You have to drive without stopping, and that person would have to isolate.
And does the property have to be approved, like 150 kilometres and meeting requirements? Who's checking this stuff?
The the property needs to be, it could be the returnee's home, it could be another person's home, it could be rental or standalone accommodation, including Airbnb. It must have reliable cell phone coverage, and you would have to be subjected to random calls from the Ministry of Health to check that you are isolating, and there would be some form of a digital tracker. So be it, some jurisdictions, like in Hong Kong, they give you a bracelet that you wear that tracks your movement, so you wouldn't be allowed to move off that property without triggering an alert to health authorities.
I'm with you. How would you feel about home isolation, but only in Auckland? That's where our outbreak is, and that's where a lot of people are flying into. How would that sit with you?
Well, for us, I think that's why we've put in the vaccination thresholds, as the government has with the traffic light system. At this stage, until New Zealand gets to a higher level of vaccination rate, it's not reasonable to expect that Kiwis could just jump on a domestic flight and then travel to somewhere else in the country. So although it would impact a lot of New Zealanders overseas that perhaps live in the South Island or perhaps live in other parts of the North Island, isolating in Auckland, to be fair, for a lot of people, there's more risk of catching COVID once you leave your isolation anyway and stepping outside.
Martin, thank you so much for your time. We're going to have to leave it there. That was Grounded Kiwi spokesperson Martin Newell joining us from Melbourne with their proposal about how home isolation could work in New Zealand as we shift away from the MIQ model.